right, hi everybody, and welcome to Lecture 62 in this Ancient History program of History at Our House for the junior and senior high class. We are in a test preparation phase. This is a short week, so we're starting on a Tuesday, and we're reviewing our content today. And then we have art tomorrow, which is unusual, but we switch it to Wednesdays on test weeks. And then we have the test preparation class on Thursday. The test preparation materials are on the class webpage. Even though we didn't have school yesterday, I did post those materials. And so they are right there under our President's Day link or image. So make sure you download this if you haven't already. And you've got two more days to work on it. And today I want to talk about any of the details that need discussing, but more than that, I want to emphasize what I think is really crucial to understand and that we have to spend a good amount of our energy on whenever we can. And that is the big picture. And the best way to visualize the big picture that I've ever been able to come up with is some kind of colorized timeline like this. This is what I call my Portland chart of history, and which is what I'm using to prompt you. And I just realized there's an extraneous 4 on here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So, okay. Well, luckily, I will fix that. And anyway, we have this crucial one here, which has been added, obviously, the new one, in terms of the structure of our Portland chart. And it's this purple line extending upwards to touch the gray line. So ignore this number 4 over here. It'll be gone soon enough on this copy of the thing anyway. And I think that everything that we are doing here has to do with this purple line. So that's really going to be crucial for us to discuss here. Juliet, go ahead.
I thought the 4 that's touching the green line, I thought that was the Rosetta Stone.
It certainly is, but notice that there's 2 4s. So I'm just letting you know that if you went down here and you looked at number 4, and then you looked at the prompt, you would see which one it is that I want you to do.
Okay.
Yeah. So you are right that this one up here, if that were the one that you were being asked about, that would be the Rosetta Stone. So I'm glad you caught that. But I'm just saying there is an extraneous 4 on here. Before I have a chance to get rid of this, I just want you to be clear that this is the one I'm asking about. Okay? And so, and this is the line that we've added and that is so crucial to the history that we're studying this year. And that's the first thing that I want to emphasize today and I want to discuss and kind of encourage for you at your level, again, to be thinking about. Because we spend so much time on the details, week to week, we go through the logic of the events and we see things unfolding and we are learning things about the past. But we never do that for its own sake. If we did, we'd be making a huge mistake. It would be wrong. It would be wrong to do that. So, once you're muting there, Kenny. So, we don't do that for its own sake. So, in order to not fall into the trap of studying the past as an end in itself, just accumulating facts and stuff that, you know, kind of just gradually builds up in the back of our head, and supposedly at the end of that somehow we are, quote, educated. Just because we got a big cluttery mess of stuff about the past back there, and then somehow we're supposed to be better people because of that. I think that is not true, quite frankly. And I have worse things to say about it, but I'm just going to refrain from saying those things. So in order not to fall into that trap of just constantly focusing on the details and losing sight of why we're doing it, right? That's why I want to do this review today. And so here's question number one to reinforce what I think is the proper perspective. So question number one is, what's the big deal with this purple line? Why is it on here? Why bother? Why does this line meet the criterion, the History at Our House criterion, which is we're only going to study the most important things in history. And even among the most important, we're only going to take some of them and we're going to call those ones anchor facts. Why? Why does number four qualify? And in a way, I'm glad that I asked it because there were two possibilities. One possibility was hands would go shooting up, and that would mean that this is actually really solid, and that would be, in a certain way, a good sign. But in the other way would be hands don't go up. And that means that this is exactly the right topic. That you guys do need a pretty, you know, I should probably be doing this more often, but at least we do need this refresher. We do need this refresher. So let's go at it from the following angle. What are anchor facts? Let's start there. Every single one of these is some kind of anchor fact. What are anchor facts? Going way, way back to the beginning of the year. What are anchor facts? Okay, well, I apologize for not having recognized that this might happen and not having helped you more, so that you would be in a position to answer that question right now. Because you should be able to answer that question. So, but the fact that you can't means that, well, I haven't quite succeeded here in what I'm supposed to be doing. So, good information to have. Let's solve this problem. So, let's work with some examples. The first anchor fact of history is a really big clue. The first, the one and only, the irreplaceable anchor fact of history, number one, is what? And that might help us go a long way here towards answering this question, what are anchor facts? So, number one, please, what would you put on the on this test preparation sheet, Juliet?
We are here.
Okay. Okay, so what does that have to do with history?
Well, it's the history that's closest to us. We are history in that case, because that's our place in time.
All right. Yeah, not bad. That's our place. All right. We are here. Okay. That's getting there. All right. And so, but why is that an anchor? Now, I use this term anchor. When you hear the word anchor, now that is a concept you've got. What is an anchor? Never mind an anchor fact, never mind all that abstraction. Just tell me what an anchor is. The simple concept, anchor. Abby, what's an anchor?
An anchor is something that a ship drops when they want the ship to stop and not move.
Okay. Okay. All right. An anchor is this heavy weight that a ship drops down into the ocean, and sometimes it'll hit the bottom. Otherwise, it doesn't have to hit the bottom. But basically, what it does is it keeps the ship stable. It keeps the ship in the place where you want it to be. And you need such a thing Why? Well, because you're on a ship for a reason. You're going places. You want to get somewhere. You want to be safe. You want to survive the trip. If you're in a storm, for instance, a ship, if it's just on the water without an anchor, well, what can you do with that? You can go places. But if you don't have an anchor, then what happens? This is a tough situation, right? Once you get where you want to go, what can you do? You're floating around. You don't have kind of a solid footing for stopping somewhere once you get there. So this is where I get the concept anchor. Okay, because that's your stable point, your stable point of reference. Really, the first anchor, the you are here thing, is where we are, is the reason why we study history. This is why we're bothering to learn about Greece, because we're here. And as it turns out, history reveals to us that we never would have got here if it wasn't for the Greeks. So that's something powerful and that's something amazing. That everything that we are and that we take for granted, it actually required the blood, sweat, and tears of countless numbers of human beings to create it. And the Greeks more than any others. And it is not to be taken for granted. Because, and this is part of what history is supposed to do for us, because it had to be fought for. It had to be struggled for. It had to be created. And guess what? It has to be every day. And we have this, I don't know, we face a challenge. We very much face a challenge. You guys face a challenge in order to live a good life. You have this wonderful place that you are, which is nice. That's good. But the wonder of it is by far not guaranteed whatsoever. And I'm sorry to say, in case you were wondering, you don't just get to have it. It ain't free. You don't just get to coast through your life and live in a wonderful place and not have to earn it. Reality doesn't work that way. And there are a lot of dangers to you as an individual, to your family, to everybody in the world, because of the way the world is. And you have to get that figured out. You have to sort that out well. The better that you do, the better your life will be. The less well you sort it out, the more problems you will have. And people do kind of recognize this, but they never really say it quite on this level. So I know it's a big thought. It's a big set of thoughts, and it's an unusual set of thoughts. But you know, because it can't possibly be else in your homes, you know that the election matters to your parents. It's an example of what I'm talking about on a level that most people are used to dealing with the issues. Right? You know that they're talking about things and there are some big issues at stake, and the world will be a different place based on who gets chosen to be the president of the United States. And other choices along the way are so closely related to that and crucially linked to it. The whole world revolves around choices like this, especially because it's an America-centric world. So this is why we study it. Back to anchor facts. This is why we study history, because here we are acting, living, trying to do the best that we can. You're going to have to do it too. Right now, mommy and daddy are taking care of it for you. But the thing is, you are gradually grabbing hold of that baton and you're going to take it for yourself. And then what? Are you ready for that? Are you ready to be that independent human being that's going to be able to do that thinking for themselves, including the voting part, and do a good job of it? And all the rest. Your career and all of the other things that are associated with that and whatever family you're going to have and all those other challenges, right? They're really big. And the world is a complicated place to be living in, and especially if you don't get it, if you don't understand it. And that's what the anchor facts are for. I am not here to teach you the details of the Peloponnesian War and waste your time filling your head with stuff that happened thousands of years ago that will have absolutely no bearing on how you live your life, right? We're not supposed to be here doing that. Now, we do study details of history, but we've got to always, always, always fight to make that connection between the past and the present and remind ourselves of how this matters. What it does for us. And if we don't get it, we should be fighting it or fighting for it, one or the other, to make it better or something. But that's what the anchor facts are for. They're there to make sure that we have the connection between what we're studying and where we are. And that's why the present is anchor fact number one. We study history because of where we are, because of the world that we live in, because of our need to understand it. And only history can explain it in the ways that we have been doing. There's nothing else that can do that for us. There's nothing else that can tell us why do we have democracy and what does it mean. There's no other subject that can do that. And, well, in what ways is America a democracy? In what ways is it not? And what does that mean as well? And how important is that? And yes, who should I vote for if I really understand that issue? Does that actually translate into anything that matters in terms of how I live? There's a lot there, right? But it's not so much about, right now, you guys are still young, and it's not so much about having the answer. Right now for you guys, it's about seeing that this is a part of the answer, that this is a part of how you need to operate to get that answer. And we keep building and we keep working on it. Just like you keep learning a new algebraic formula and a new this and that so that you're better and better at math. And who knows what subject you're going to, and you know, if you're going to go on to become an engineer or a doctor or whatever, I don't know. But the point is you're building. Right? You don't have all the answers right now. That's okay. You need to work at it. And the same thing with history. In order to have what it can give you, and those subjects can't. Okay, so that's what the anchor facts are. The facts that connect the past that we are studying to the present. We don't get here, you are here and all that stuff. We don't get here without all of this. It doesn't happen. Right? The most obvious one is 1776. There's no United States of America unless it gets made. It gets created for the first time. What else is there that we know has to happen for there to be a United States of America? Let's work our way backwards. We are here. Okay, how did we get here? Anchor fact of history. There is no United States without the Declaration of Independence. Okay, keep going back. What is this? Juliet?
Christopher Columbus discovered America.
Okay, there's no United States of America without the discovery of America by Europeans. Okay? The primitive natives that were here, they're not going to make any USA. They're still going to be rubbing stones together over here. There is no you are here. Unless the Europeans come and make it. And with them, they are bringing all of this. It's a lot. It's a big story of all their successes and failures. And it doesn't happen unless this. Number two, what's that one? It's labeled number two on here, right? But none of that whole story of Europe even happens unless this happens. What's number two? Sophie, what's number two? All right, I needed to check because your hand's not going up and you're not answering questions. So I don't know if it's just you're tuned out in the moment or this has. I'm trying to figure out. It's my job to figure this out. How to help you best. And if you don't know number two, we got a serious problem. This whole diagram then is not in good. We're not in a good place. So we got some serious work to do. Abby?
Number two is the fall of Rome.
The fall of Rome, okay? Because there's no Europe, if Rome is still around, this is a whole other story. Okay, so this is a review here, and I can't go into all that details, but it's definitely very concerning that this is not smooth. But I'm trying to draw you back here all the way to this thing, which I added today, and we need a lot of filler here. But the fall of Rome. Okay, well, who cares about Rome? Tell me something that happened in the Roman Empire that changed the world. How about an anchor fact somewhere over here that has to do with the Roman world and that has something to do with the way the world is? Right? Again, connecting past and present. What's this one? We got to get to. I'm going to start making you guys draw this thing from scratch and really dig into this here because if this is somehow receded in your awareness, that's no good. What happened? That we're going to be learning about in the future of the course here, Juliet?
Jesus born.
Yeah, exactly. He's born in the province of Judea in the Roman Empire. The Romans are going to convert to Christianity. And when the European barbarians take over, most of them are by that point Christian, or they're going to become Christian, and that's a huge part of how our world is. So how did it come to be that way? Back to this. Now here's the thing that we have just been studying the details of. And again, the details are worth nothing unless we can make this connection. Details, we got this gray line. This is Greece and Rome. Okay, fine. The gray line leads to Europe, and the Europeans discover America, and the founding fathers declare independence, and America gets created, and here we are. Okay. Back to here now. What's the purple line? Who cares? Well, what is it, first of all, and who cares? Juliet?
It's Egypt, Mesopotamia, and Persia.
Good. Okay.
And Persia, the Persian Empire caused the fall of Greece, essentially. So that's why it matters, because if Persia hadn't destroyed Greek civilization,
No, stop. It did not. And we know that it did not. Be careful. We know that the Persian Empire did not destroy Greece. How do we know that just from looking at this diagram? What's the logic of the Portolan chart? The purple line is here. Okay, you're right, Julia. This is Egypt, Mesopotamia, and Persia. Okay. And then it goes and it touches the gray. So that's this purple line going over and touching, reaching out and touching Greece. Okay. But what's so crucial here? This is gray, this is gray, this is gray. The purple comes and touches the gray. And then, what color is the line? Theo says, it just touches it. Okay, he's giving you a clue. What does that mean? The rest of you guys are on the spot here. If it's still gray after that, Kenny, what does it mean?
It means that it's continued on.
Okay, and if it's not purple, what is it not?
It's not that culture.
Okay, which is?
Egypt.
Not in this case. This is, as Juliet said, Egypt, Mesopotamia, and Persia. Which one is the one doing the reaching out and touching?
Persia.
Persia. Okay, so that's the Greco-Persian Wars, and it touches it, but it doesn't take over. So that's, over here, we got Columbus discovers America, and then what? They go back to Europe? And just forget it? No, they came and they took over. So this is green. Okay, now they come over here and they reach out and touch Greece. That's our Greco-Persian War. And they certainly wanted to, but they did not succeed. Juliet, this is really, really crucial. They failed. So the story of Greece continues. That's what that is. It continues. Now, we're going to learn more about this. And we're going to have to actually expand this diagram. Because Greece and Rome, we're going to have to separate them based on our understanding. Right now, we're still trying to save this understanding, because we're pretty shaky here for how far we've come this year. But right now we're using Greece and Rome together in gray. And so we've got this line and it continues until, somebody already said, the fall of Rome. And then the Europeans take over and then the Americans and so on. Okay, so again, all the way from past to present. Now, if this purple line only reaches out and touches the gray, what's the big deal? What is the importance of this? Why do we care? I don't know if you do, but I know I do. Why do I care so much? Why does it affect my whole life? So much, it affects me so much that I decided to be a history teacher. To try to communicate it to you guys, because I know nobody else is doing a good job of it. So, somebody's got to try. That's my mission. Why do I care so much about this purple line if it doesn't even become purple later? So the question is, put a different way, what if this had become purple? Abby.
Oh, we'd all still be stuck on the archaic plateau.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it. Absolutely. Who knows where we would be? But I guarantee none of this happens. The green and the blue just don't happen. What does happen, I couldn't possibly tell you. But the purple takes over this part of the world anyway. And I have no idea what does and does not happen in that scenario. But anyway, the gray dies. Now the thing is, why does that matter so much? Why is it so exciting to me what the Greeks did, why they were successful in the Greco-Persian War, is because, well, this over here, and all of this over here, is part of something we call the Renaissance. And that's a great word. It's one of the most fantastic words historians have ever come up with. Because it captures something absolutely earth-shattering. It's a French word, and what does it mean? Sophie, you're back on the spot. What does Renaissance mean?
The rebirth.
Rebirth. Okay. To have a rebirth, what do you have to have first? Abby?
You have to have a birth.
Okay, exactly. You can't be reborn unless you've had the born part in the first place. Okay, where's the birth? Where's the birth in this chart over here? Now, wait a minute, Juliet. I know you're going to try to answer. Okay, put your hand down, Juliet. All right, so is the birth over here on the purple line? Just chat me an answer. Is it over here? Is it on either of these two ancient lines? Yellow, China, India, orange. Is that the birth over there? Because it's not over here and it's not over here. Okay. Is it on the brown or on the red? Okay, so there's no birth to be reborn over here in the green. All right, so the green is there's a rebirth over here. Okay, so now where is the birth? Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to move the cursor, and it's not in the yellow or the orange or the purple or the brown or the red. Okay, so we know it's way over here in the gray. So now, I want you to tell me to stop moving the cursor when you think I'm at the birth. So we're starting here at number 3, which is 776 BC. Is that the birth? That's the birth of Greece, right? But the Greeks were on the Archaic Plateau there. They weren't particularly special. They didn't do anything particularly interesting at that point. They got monarchs, they got aristocrats, they got tyrannoi. I'm sorry, they're not particularly interesting yet. All right, so as I move the cursor, when should I stop? Juliet, is that what you meant? Did I stop it in time? You wanted it to be sooner. Who says I should stop the cursor here? What's that? What's this? Anchor fact. I have a feeling you guys do not have this crucial data point printed out. Let me show you guys something. January. Go to the January page. Whoops, that's not what I wanted. My gosh. Okay, now if I go to January. Oh, that's not the one. I apologize. Let me find it. Here we go. There we go. This. So, by a show of hands, who has this printed out and is on the, pretty much the cover page of their binder or is on the wall in front of their desk? Sophie, I don't believe you. So I think, because otherwise this would not be a mystery, Right? I mean, Fall of Rome is right there and it's been there ever since the start of the year. And we've had this chart and it's been on the class webpage. And I think that, I mean, oh, there's so many things that I have to work on to improve. Anyway, better late than never. Our anchor fact timeline so far, I mean, I would expect you guys to be familiar with what's on the class webpage. I feel as though that's not been the case. If somebody says, I didn't know that was there, I can't understand that. But it is what it is. So it's there. And it's been there for a long time. And so this is really something that would be great, absolutely, to print off in full living color and have it in front of your desk and look at it. It can't replace what we've done, but at least it'll give you a spur to your memory to bring it back. So it's all on here. And yes, we got the Athenian democracy in 508 BC. So I was bringing my cursor along here, and that's what that is. Okay, but guess what? That's not really enough. That's just part of the birth. The rest of it is all here. But regardless, the birth that comes later with the rebirth, let's go look at it on here because it's nicer, right? Renaissance over here. The birth part is here in the first place. And then you got the Dark Ages. The birth part is all here. Well, if the Persians had won, I'm kind of bouncing back and forth here, but if the Persians had won this, then this part over here doesn't happen. It's different in a really profound way. The Greeks are subjugated. The Greeks are turned into something completely different than they managed to be. So that's why this matters so much. This is what I start with right here in the week 19 class notes. Please go back and read this. Don't just do the test prep sheets as a mechanistic exercise. Please go back and read this. What if Greece had been conquered by the Persian Empire, I ask you? Archaism would have triumphed, and all of Western history would have been aborted. Fortunately, it wasn't. The Greeks won, and Athens did have its golden age. The Athenian Golden Age was the birth, that of which the Renaissance is the rebirth. Now, what you were slightly misremembering, Juliet, was that, well, the wars that followed are the bad news. It was the Greeks that ruined themselves. It wasn't the Persians that ruined Greece. They tried, but failed. It was the Greeks that ruined Greece. This is very sad. They went to war with each other. The Spartans conquered the Athenians. The Thebans conquered the Spartans. The Macedonians conquered everybody. And then they wasted a whole bunch of time going and conquering Persia. And then Alexander died, and the Macedonians spent the rest of their time trying to manage the leftovers, acting like a bunch of archaic Asian rulers. And, well, that was it. They got nothing else to show for themselves. There's not a single person in that story that we need to pay any attention to. Which is just tragic, because this is a culture that did amazing things, and instead it ends up being this mediocre shadow of itself. So that's the last part. When you're back and reading your class notes, trying to work on doing the test prep, because you guys typically do a pretty decent job of doing the test prep, right? So when you're working on that part, you gotta, what we've been talking about today, hopefully will be a part of that experience for you. And this is the last thing that I wanted to end with today. In the very, very end of the notes, just wanted this particular concept to be clear. Right? All of this sad, lesser part of history after Alexander the Great, we call that Hellenistic. So make sure you understand why. This is a really good, important word for us in history. Because we did have to live through the Dark Ages. Mankind. The world had to go through that because of this. If the Greeks had been able to keep it together, then the whole story would be different. But they couldn't. It's very sad. All right, so it's on you guys now. You've got 2 more days. Some heavy lifting to do here where you can work on the class notes, read them over, ask me questions, whatever it is you need to do, and do your best to get command over all this, or ask me questions on what it is that's not working for you. We'll do what we can to boost your understanding by Thursday, so that hopefully you can take the test. Last thoughts for today? Questions? I know it was a really hard session. All right. Good luck with your test prep. Talk to you tomorrow.